Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. I imagine that most of you recognize the parable that we heard in today's reading from the Gospel. And the fact is, most people call it the parable of the Good Samaritan. And you know, our culture even recognizes this parable by naming a wide variety of charitable organizations after it. You've got Good Samaritan Hospital, Good Samaritan Nursing Home, we've got Samaritan's Purse, and so forth. And there are charitable organizations named after the Good Samaritan all over the country. And for the most part, these are good, caring organizations of mercy. And they provide valuable services to their communities. But the good, noble, caring work that these organizations do, that makes it kind of difficult for us to understand the shock value that Jesus packed into this parable. You know, the parable that we just heard in today's gospel. Because you see, the Jewish person in that day had a far different understanding of the Samaritan than we do today. I'm going to give you a little history lesson. When King Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem, he forced the Jews to leave the land. And then he settled people from other cultures in the land. And they brought their religions with them, and they combined their religious practices with the religious practices of the locals. And this produced a hybrid religion and culture, the Samaritans. And then when the Persians defeated the Babylonians, they allowed the Jews to return. But the returning Jews condemned the false practices of the Samaritans, and they actually considered them to be traitors for polluting the true faith. And so there was an immense hatred that grew between those two cultures. Years ago, pastors struggled to explain the level of hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. But sadly, our world has changed so that maybe it's not so difficult to understand today. If you want to understand the impact that this story had on the original audience, then maybe we could make a simple substitution. Every time you hear the word Samaritan, think radical Islamic terrorist. And so the parable of the Good Samaritan becomes the parable of the good radical Islamic terrorist. And if that shocks you, then you begin to have an idea of the shock that this narrative had on the people who heard it the very first time that Jesus said it. And the other thing we need to better understand this parable is the question that caused Jesus to tell this story in the first place. You see, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" You know, it's not apparent at first, but if you think about it, that question is absolute nonsense. And a lawyer should know better. And at the same time, that question also demonstrates the false religion of this world. Because do you understand do you see that there is nothing that anyone can do to inherit anything? An inheritance is something that a person receives because someone else did something. A person receives an inheritance because someone else wrote that person into a will and then died. Do you understand that an inheritance is a pure gift that is given as the result of the death and the last will and testament of the original owner of that gift? I mean, the lawyer is right in his assumption that eternal life is an inheritance. And eternal life is a free gift from God. And it went into effect at the death of the Son of God on the cross. And so it is an inheritance. But at the same time, that lawyer demonstrates the false religion of the world. You know, that there is something that I do that will have an effect on the inheritance of eternal life. The fact is that God wants to give eternal life as a gift. But the false religion of this world wants to earn eternal life as a wage. You see, every time that Jesus encountered someone with this delusion, he poured on the law. And so he said to him, "You tell me, what is written in the law? How do you read it?" And so Jesus began by taking the lawyer back to the basics, back to catechism class, if you will. And the young man replied. He gave him the standard answer that every Jew learned when they went to Sabbath school. He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And this is straight out of Moses from Deuteronomy and from today's Old Testament lesson from Leviticus. And Jesus acknowledged that the lawyer got the answer exactly right. And so Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." In other words, if you will love God and love your neighbor perfectly, then you will earn eternal life. And at this point, an honest person will really see the problem. Because you will understand that there's no way for him to love God and neighbor as he should. Therefore, there's no way to earn eternal life. On the other hand, the lawyer in today's gospel, he still believes that maybe he has a chance. And so he wants to justify himself. And so he says to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" I mean, the lawyer thought that if the definition of neighbor was tight enough, then maybe he could love his neighbor. I mean, after all, it's easy to love your neighbors when they're all lovable. And so Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan in order to widen this man's understanding of what it means to be a neighbor. And that's the reason that Jesus took that first century equivalent of the radical terrorist and made him the hero of the story. And the point that Jesus made with this story is that the most unlikely, the most unlovable, the most difficult person that you will ever meet is still your neighbor. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, if we recast the story that Jesus told in modern day terms, then that radical terrorist gave aid to a man that his friends would call a Zionist pig. He rendered first aid. He got him transported to the emergency room. And then he left a Visa card with the hospital. and gave them an unlimited credit line to do what they could to help that poor victim. And at the end of the story, Jesus said to the lawyer, "You go and do likewise." And so to begin to understand the incredible standard that Jesus has set for this poor lawyer and for us. I mean, the right response to this parable is surrender. Because no ordinary human being can live up to the standard that Jesus established in this parable. No ordinary human being can do what needs to be done to inherit eternal life. Of course, there is one who lives up to the standard. Jesus, the one who told the story. He's no ordinary man. He is the Christ, who is true man and true God. And I invite you to consider how Jesus kept the standard of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul from his letter to the Romans, when he writes, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so as we laid alongside of the road, dead in trespasses and sin, Christ poured out his life for us. Each and every one of us was unlikely. Every one of us was unlovable, and each and every one of us was difficult. But nevertheless, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ, hanging on the cross, dealing with your sins. That's God's ultimate expression of his love for you. And so in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus has taught us that there is absolutely nothing that we can do to inherit eternal life. But thankfully, Jesus is the Christ. And he kept this high standard of love. And he loved us even when we were the most unlovable. And so we inherit eternal life, all because Christ has died. And he puts us in his will. And now we shall live forever, even as he is risen from the dead and lives into all eternity. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord.